Caitlin Bristow hosts the hilarious, relatable, always honest, kind of feels like you're hanging out with your best friends podcast Off the Vine every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday episodes are interviews with guests like Wells Adams, Rachel Lindsay, Nikki Glasser, and Lisa Vanderpump to talk about everything from career to relationships to mental health. Thursday's episodes are called Grape Therapy, which are sometimes bachelor recaps, sometimes giving advice and hearing from listeners on the Vine hotline, or sometimes just catching up with a friend. Listen to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow wherever you get your podcast. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. All right, y'all, things are about to get intense. Like, we're staring into the eyes of our lifelong crush for a minute straight, intense. Intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. It's formulated with chili pepper, delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. It's available in 8 sizzling shades. My favorite I've been wearing the past few days is the Blush Blaze. Y'all, this color is beautiful. But when I say the sensation is intense, it is. It feels like, in the best way possible, you rubbed a jalapeno all over your lips. So if you love that sensation, you are going to love this. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Seriously, y'all, like, this color is beautiful and the heat is piping. Hi, guys. Welcome back to Better Tomorrow. Thank you so much for being here. And we have a really awesome guest. One of my ex-boyfriends is here, Colton Underwood. Thank you so much for coming today.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I mean, we were just kind of catching up, talking about just how weird life is from how when we first met to where we are now and all the ups and downs and kind of just the journey that we've had and how we're so happy now. But we definitely have been through it.
Yes.
Partly on our, like, on ourselves, we put ourselves through it. But also it's just like there's a journey in healing. And I think we both have been through a lot and have a lot of similarities. But obviously we have some differences. And so for those that don't know how we met, we kind of dated. Ish, which I want to know what you think about that. I was on Colton's season of The Bachelor. And when I think back about being The Bachelorette, when people like ask about my relationships, I don't feel like they're real, kind of. Does that make, I mean, some of them, yes, like the, but how do you really date multiple people at a time with a lot of cameras on you? Like, yeah, how do you feel about that when people ask you about, when they say, mean, oh yeah, we dated. It's like, did
we? Yeah, and that for me is obviously just, I'm sure in your own ways, but a very loaded question. Cause
yeah.
I like, you know, I think I've already said this before, but like going on the show was a weird form of like conversion therapy on myself. Like I was really committed to becoming straight.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to put myself in situations in which I would like have to date women. And it doesn't make the relationships not real and my feelings not real because like I, you know, it was real. But at the same time, you're also making TV and like I was enjoying that at the time. Like I enjoyed the process of like filming a TV show and I had the time of my life. I was 26 when I first like entered into that franchise.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want to have a good time. Like, this is fun. I don't know where else life is going to take me. Like, this is fun.
I love how you also still talk. You want to make good TV. I wanted to make good TV too. I couldn't.
Yeah.
We like to be good at things.
I think that's weirdly what got me the gig. Like, I remember meeting with Fleiss, and I was like, I like looked him in the eyes and I go, I will make you one hell of a show. And I like told him that in our one-on-one meeting. And I was like, I will play ball here. Like my only thing is just like, don't mess with like my top three. Mm. I'm like, but other than that, like, let's play ball. Like let's make great TV. I'm going to crush this for you. I didn't have a career to go back to. I was leaving the NFL at the time. And I was like, there's no like, go back to your day job after this. Like entertainment was like what I was going to see if I liked and I enjoyed. And I did. Just, yeah. I didn't know what part of it. And yeah. Until now. So.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I had a similar conversation with, you know, them possibly wanting me to be the Bachelorette. I was such a like purist. I feel like I really wanted to like find love on that show because I don't know. I just thought, oh, God's opening this door for me. Like this must be something I should like step into. But that is part of it as a lead. Like you have to be able to
play ball
and lean into certain things for the sake of a good TV show. But that gets really complicated when it's also like your real feelings and like relationships of, and other feelings of the people that you're dating get involved. It can get like really messy because then.
But here's the thing. When I was filming it, like once you're in it, you're in it. And I wasn't really like thinking about my sexuality, like on the, it wasn't a conscious like thought for me. Like as I'm like going through these dates with women, I wasn't like consciously saying, oh, I wish this was a man. That was not really my intent. I was actually very present in that moment and place and time for me because I felt like I had to be to become straight, if that makes sense. So, but I do relate in the fact that you do things outside of your character and your values for the sake of the show that then you have this internal struggle with.
Our last date, I went and met your family, yes. Which I'm like, oh my gosh.
Which, by the way, my dad and mom and bonus mom love you and adore you.
Thank you.
You were the number one on the family's radar.
Oh my gosh. That means so much to me because I felt like I kind of killed it with your fam. And I was like,
you did.
Thank you. Yes. But I was shocked because I was like, oh my gosh, this is a really big date for him to like pick somebody to go on. Now, knowing.
After being in my shoes.
In your shoes. That might have not been what you wanted to do.
Right.
And so I think I was just like shocked more of like, oh my gosh, why would he give up this date if he knew he was going to send me home?
Yeah.
But then I feel now I'm on this side to be like, man, why did they do that? That was a big date for not like if I was not the person that you wanted to be with. It's just so
That was the
murky.
Start of the spiral for me as far as being like, the lead in what happened on my season was I started having major trust issues after that because I was like,
after yours,
because I said to them, I remember I was like, I would never introduce somebody to my family that I was not going to be moving forward with.
Yeah.
So the fact that I'm wasting my family.
Why do you think they made you pick me for that? Do you think they were already like, we want her to be the Bachelorette? Like,
yeah,
why?
I mean, they're very good at their job and they probably had a plan. I resisted it at the beginning. Like that, like I said, like that was like the spiral for me where I like met with the EPs. And I was like, no, like you cannot do this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, you give, or like you wanted to make a good TV show. This is what you got to do. Like it was one of those things that I was like, oh, okay, I am not in control.
That would be really hard for me, especially.
Because you're bringing family into it. And then also on mine, like and I'm sure you felt the same way, but like you really want to protect your circle and your people. Like my family didn't sign up for the show. I did.
Mm-hmm.
They were very gracious about being a part of it. And I dragged them into a whole nother Netflix show. So like my family is rock stars and A+, and I love them and adore them forever for playing, you know, playing ball with me during my career. But I just feel guilty with them too. Like there's a lot of guilt and a lot of shame that's tied into like that.
I want to backtrack though to not only did I have the date where your parents got to like meet one of the contestants, the people you were dating, and you dumped me, but just what was going on through your head meeting me And then I'll tell you what my thoughts were from that date too.
So it's interesting. I just like, I remember you being outgoing and had a big personality. And I was like, oh, this is like an easy first. Like, mm-hmm. let's just get into it. And then like we got on the date.
And it
like,
wasn't.
There's like, for people who don't know like production and the TV world, there's like boom mics that are like these furry things that hang down. And
they're like right here.
Yeah, they're like right in your face, but you don't see them because the camera like frame keeps them out. And Hannah was a little obsessed with like the microphones being there. She was distracted from like the cameras and like commenting like verbally on these two. So like our conversation, we'd be mid conversation about something personal and then it would be about audio, camera, what's going on. And I was just like, oh, it's just taking me out of the date. Like I can't actually get to know her because every time I like ask a question, she moves to like the audio or the camera guy. And
well, that is ADHD. That was not diagnosed at that point too. But yeah, I could not. I mean, that was only my second day of right. that experience. And when you're on a one-on-one, like it's very different than being in a house full of girls and them filming everything. So like, I fully didn't know this was, I wasn't prepared in any way.
Yeah.
Which you can't be.
Well, I was on my third show at the time because I did Bachelorette to Paradise and this was all back to back. So like, I thought I was a pro. I was like, oh, like get with it. Like this is, like you get into that mode.
For sure.
And I was deep into that off of like 7 months of just like filming TV in my life. So I was used to it. And I didn't think about the perspective of like, oh, this is like the first time she's experiencing like cameras and microphones in a heavy production.
Yes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How is your social battery right now? Because mine has been a little drained. I feel like it's because, honestly, this weather here in Nashville, I feel like I haven't seen the sun that much. And I'm just needing a little bit more time outside, some more walks, just being more social, not just as cooped up. And it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? For me, I actually need to be a little bit more social. So I get excited and then can overwhelm myself a little bit too much with all the plans that I've had. But maybe you need a little bit less time and need some time to yourself to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. There have been many times in my life where I really thought I could trust my gut, but I definitely shouldn't have. Definitely with a lot of those exes in the past, when it comes to that low fuel flashing light on my car, I just always think that it's not really serious. Trust me, it is. I've been on the side of the road way too many times. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. Ritual has made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome, all in one minty capsule and no refrigeration needed. I love my Symbiotic Plus. I take it every day. It's great because it's got all the biotics in it for my probiotic. I feel like it's just really helping my gut in all the ways. And actually, Ritual even invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed that Symbiotic Plus significantly increased the microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. We love that. We love when the thing's actually doing the work that we need it to for our gut. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/HannahB. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/HannahB for 25% off. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner advanced rides, feel-good DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride, perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. I love my Peloton bike. I've had one since 2020, and I feel like it really got me through some of those dark days and kept me active. I love the instructors. They get me so hype when they have like awesome, awesome soundtracks that really just keep the fun, the excitement up as we're sweating it out and getting better every day. Wherever you're starting, get moving with Peloton Bike or Bike Plus Rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. That date was a big realization for me because I really credit the show for me, like finally, like stepping in to who I am in a lot of ways. And I think the friction of that date for me was like wanting to be what I thought I should be,
yeah.
Which was like, pageant girl, say everything perfectly. And that's just like not who I am at all.
Right.
And like feeling that friction of, okay, if I'm going to date this guy, or try to get to know this guy, I need to be my full self, but I'm also on TV. I'm so glad I had that date because then I was like, oh, well, I guess it's going to be myself and got all the crazy and all the fun and the good. I mean, there's a lot. I tell people like being a contestant was so good for me. Mm-hmm. I loved being a contestant. Did you enjoy being a contestant on Becca's season, or were you more like, no, I liked being the bachelor?
I don't know if I was more comfortable as a contestant,
yeah.
Because being a contestant weirdly felt like a locker room situation to me. It was like, yeah, the boys club where I knew I could fit in and hide and like chill. And, you know, I was more comfortable, mm-hmm, in that situation. I think being alone and solo on the other side of it, you constantly have producers asking you questions. And like, for me, my virginity was a big storyline and I never wanted it to be, but then you have people poking and prodding on that. And like, I could never like answer it because I am and still am a man of faith, but,
mm-hmm,
it wasn't my sole reasoning, obviously, of me being a virgin.
Yeah.
And I could never say like,
well,
there
that
was
our
space.
First conversation.
Right. There was no space for me as the bachelor to be like, I'm questioning my sexuality. Nobody would have ever understood and or like,
they
like
what are
like,
we doing?
What
here?
Are we exactly? Yeah. So I just couldn't be honest, mm-hmm, with myself. I couldn't be honest with people. And it just, yeah. It was complex.
Yeah, for sure. That was one thing that kind of, my alarms went off, like I said. But the other two things that you did on our first date that I thought, oh, he's not what I, this is interesting. We were in the hot tub in the desert. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah, of course. Bachelor, hot tub, desert.
Yes,
makes
no,
sense.
No. But we had to go do our ITMs, which are like our in the moment, it's like when we do our interviews by ourselves, basically. And they're like, okay, Colton, Hannah, like you go this way and Hannah, you go that way. And you were like, wait, what? And I already started walking. You're like, where are our shoes? And I'm like, what do you mean? And you're like, I just got a pedicure. And I was like, wait, what? And I was like, Colton, if I can walk in the dirt, you can walk in the dirt. And you, yeah, were like, but no. I was like, okay, this is funny. And then that
that's
night,
so me.
is that really you though?
Oh yeah, that's really me. Like if I, yes, that would be, that is like an example of like me and my truth.
And then we got ready for the night and I had on just like some cute heels and you were like, oh, I like your shoes. You're like, are those Stuart Weitzman's? I was like, yeah, they are. Oh my gosh. You're like, I love their boots. And I was like, me too. And then I'm like, wait, this conversation is not the conversation I thought I was going
like,
to be having.
Are you supposed to be my gay best friend or am I dating you?
That was honestly probably one of my favorite conversations. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes.
You're like, he knows pedicures and manicures and he knows fashion, women's fashion.
And but like, you were always pretty open about like, no, like I like to look good.
Yeah, there's lots of things now that when I reflect, I'm like, oh.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought I was doing a good job hiding it, but They were.
I mean, but here's the thing: like nobody's when somebody says they're straight,
you have to believe them.
You believe they're straight.
Yeah.
In that same vein, did you have things that you were actually interested in that traditionally are seen as more feminine, or were you always like truly into sports and things that are traditionally looked at as masculine?
Yeah.
And did you lean on those things to hide that you were, you know, struggling with your, or not even struggling, just that you were gay?
Yeah, totally. I think the phrase toxic masculinity gets thrown around a little too loosely, mm-hmm. and recklessly, but there was a lot of those of just growing up in a locker room, growing up in the church, that sort of shaped and formed who I was going to be as a closeted gay man.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the best way to describe it. I could not get in touch with my feminine side.
Okay.
I didn't want to explore it because like if I explored it and made it real, and that goes from emotions, that goes from, you know, shopping. I wish I would have been in theater in high school, but I couldn't have done it with football. So
yeah.
There's lots of things when I look back, you know, I do have a lot of, oh, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have paid attention to like me really wanting to explore this side of me that I get to do now.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. And I'm more in touch with like my feminine side and my emotional side and communicate. It's made me a way better partner. It's made me a better human to actually like tap into like what people want to, you know, deem as feminine qualities. I think it's really important that I do that because like it actually makes me a whole human being instead of like this questioning and a little bit bitter and weird because I was holding a lot of resentment against mm-hmm. like people who could actually fully be themselves because I couldn't. So I think that's like the best way to explain it for me is this like being in touch now with my feminine energy and feminine side doesn't mean like I'm changing who I am. It's like, if anything, it just means I'm becoming who I was meant to be.
Yes. No, I mean, we all like have masculine and feminine energy. Like feminine energy is like the way that you allow yourself to flow through life.
Totally.
And to be like present, regardless if you are heterosexual or homosexual. We should have both in a balance. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Has that been something that you still find yourself like struggling with? Because for so long you wouldn't even allow yourself to feel, be like the person that you really are, that has layers of emotions and energy and feeling.
Yeah, I think as I've processed this and it's taken a lot of therapy and like figuring and a lot of self-work, just like with my mental state and where I was at, what I believe, who I am. And this might confuse some people. I still identify as a gay man, but like on like the spectrum, I would mm-hmm. say like I'm 75% gay, right?
Okay.
Like there's still like an attraction and appreciation and an emotional connection that I could still have with women.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't want to pursue that. That's not
yeah.
my life partner. My life partner is Jordan and like mm-hmm. a man. And that's what I've always wanted. But I never felt comfortable saying that. And like, I honestly didn't even know like that was like the case until like I sort of sat with it and like mm-hmm. really figured it out. But I like, if I was to break it down into percentages, you know, give or take, like that's about where it's at. And I know that might be confusing to some people, but you know, I think that's where just like masculine and feminine energy, like the sliding scale and
yeah.
it changes. I think that's the easiest way for me to explain my sexuality and,
yeah.
and exploring that. And then the complications of locker room environment and that's so gay being thrown around, or, you know, the F word and not the one that ends with CK
mm-hmm.
getting like out
yeah.
there, like a lot in locker rooms and a lot in the sports culture. I think that's why I'm so invested now in like helping that
mm-hmm.
my communities. I think like, that I didn't realize how big my communities were until I was coming out, where I was really scared to come out and alienate my Christian community. I was really scared to come out as a Christian and alienate the gay community because like they really, especially today, still don't understand each other and their little oil and vinegar or whatever,
mm-hmm.
oil and water or whatever, it doesn't mix. I was like, I didn't want to lose my communities. So
mm-hmm.
I was like, if I come out here, I have to come out here. And then like, it's just like this push pull and this blend. And then now I'm just like, I've processed it. I've worked on it. And I've like sort of figured it out for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've figured it out and solved it for everybody, but I at least like can figure it out for myself.
Well, and that's the most important.
Exactly.
Do you feel like the relationships that you had in the past with women, like, do you feel like you've actually, now that you are in love with your forever partner, like, yeah, truly, do you feel like you were ever truly in love with a woman in your life?
Yes.
Yes.
And they've made me a better partner for my husband. Like, that is a 100% true statement. I feel like I have been in love multiple times and with different women, and I've taken things from those relationships and applied them to my relationship with my husband. And I've now been able to, like, reflect on some of those too. Obviously, I've become a much better partner. And I think that was first and foremost, like, the most important thing before I even got into a relationship with Jordan, or when I first started dating men after coming out, is just, like, the self-work and, like, figuring out what I wanted. Like, I took bits and pieces of, like, what I wanted from my relationship with women, mm-hmm, and just put it in, like, into a relationship with a man.
Talking about your communities, how has that been? Because I think it makes it also, like, you're just a layered person. You got a lot. Because
I feel like I've lived three lives.
Yeah.
Like completely different lives. It's wild.
Being a Christian and being open about your faith and also being gay, like, how have you navigated that? How have you been able to bring those two communities together for yourself to find peace?
Yeah. I think for myself, what I've realized is that my relationship with God and my faith and what I believe in and who I am and who I want him to know I am is between me and him, mm-hmm, quite frankly. And also I can, and how I act and how I treat others. I think that's, like, first and foremost. When I discuss this publicly, there's still a lot of disagreements, which, mm-hmm, is fine. And I used to, when I first came out, I had a folder of these messages that I either received or comments that were sort of shaming me for being gay from the religious community. And I shared them once or twice on my socials of just, like, showing, like, this is not the example of Christianity. But then what I started doing after a couple months and a lot of self-work is I started collecting a folder of gay men and women who reached out to me that are Christians and said, I can't find anybody else who talks about this. Like, you're like the only one that I see. How's it going? And asking questions, and they're curious. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not alone in this. And I don't have to take on that negative emotion when I can look over here and see the positive, like, help that I am giving out and, like, mm-hmm, hope for this. So that's been interesting. I will say I'm still very much on the journey. I don't have it solved, even for myself. I know I'm a man of God, and I don't know how else to put it. I also, like, think it's important to say, like, I struggle with the idea of structured and organized religion now. That's, mm-hmm, and that's mainly just from my experiences with having conversations with pastors about being accepted in their church. Even after I came out, I attended services a couple times, and the anxiety that I would get from sort of holding my breath, waiting for them to take a stance against homosexuality in their building and then in their church was nerve-wracking, because I knew there would be some eyes on me. If that pastor was leading the sermon and said something, people would look at me and see, how are you reacting? Why are you standing in this building if he's openly saying on that stage that you aren't loved? Like, so I don't have all the answers yet. I definitely think that I hold a responsibility of sharing when I do. Mm-hmm. On my own timeline, but I'm very much on it, but I'm still very much in it and, like, in a good place with it.
I'm glad that you haven't allowed those really negative shame people who are, like, full of shame themselves that, like to spew on other, yes, people, like, draw you further from God. It almost seems like it's allowed you to, like, find this personal, private space to be with, yeah, God more, would, totally, you say?
Yes. It brought me closer for sure. Like, after coming out, I was like, oh, okay. Like, now I can have a relationship with God where I don't have to pray that I'm not gay. Like, I can actually, like, talk to him about other things. And, you know, I can really just bring in him into my life in full, where it's, mm-hmm, not like every time I was talking to God or I was praying for something, at the end of it, it sounds so silly, but I would be praying, you know, for guidance here or like for my health and safety during football. But at the end, it's like, and also if you can make me straight, that would be great. Like that was sort of almost in every one of mm-hmm. my prayers and my conversations. So like the fact that that was gone was so cool because then I was like, oh, okay. Like it's not conditional. It's mm-hmm. not like on this condition of, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? It's like, okay, I am.
Yeah. We went to church. Today's a Monday, but we went this past weekend and our pastor was talking about a lot of times we pray in formula. Because we're like, God, if I do this, this, and this, you'll give me this, right? And right. It feels like that was something that for you.
It was definitely conditional. And like, yeah, I'm like so relieved that it's just like that. That's just like where I'm at now. So mm-hmm. I'm just like relieved and present and happy.
I'm so glad to hear that. Can we go back to when... I mean, yeah, just kind of on this journey of you're here now, mm-hmm. but obviously you struggled all your life with accepting who you are. Do you remember when you even knew, first of all, like what gay was that you were gay? Like, because I don't know, but did you know like really young, or is this something that you don't like find out until like after puberty and you're like, oh, I'm actually really more attracted to men than women? Or is there something like innate when you're young?
I knew I was different. I always say around the age of 6, I knew I was different when I was very young. I didn't know what it was until after puberty and after I like experienced hormones and mm-hmm. like sex, you know, like my sexuality started coming out like in my teenage years.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is what it is. But by that time, I was already sort of programmed that like, that was not who I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Like I just already had an idea in my head of who I was going to grow up to be. And that was not part of the plan.
And what was your idea of who you thought you were going to be?
Oh, I just wanted to be like a rock star football player, super masculine jock bro. Like that's just like in my vision of like.
The All-American.
The All-American boy. Which I
made happen.
I did.
Seem appear.
Yes. Yes. On the outside, I was all of that. But then on the inside. And even like going through it, living a very double life, because like there were times that like in private and when I was alone and in college, even like where I would like explore my, you know, my sexuality privately. And I didn't know how to balance that. And my way of doing that was shutting my emotions off.
Or did you like think, did you even like tell yourself or like try to trick yourself into, oh, this is not me being gay. This is just like.
The easiest way for me to just describe it is like I would just shut my emotions off anytime I did gay things. Okay. I mean, that's just like how I process things is I was like, it's a physical experience and that's all that I want this to be. And that's all this is going to be. And that's all that I need. Like that's mm-hmm. how I sort of justified it in my head. I was like, okay, that's what it's going to be. And I left it at that. And that's just sort of how I processed it and how I hit it and how I could live the two lives that I wanted to live.
Mm-hmm. You said because of The Bachelor, like you think that's the only, it's a lot of to why you are living mm-hmm. the life that you are today out. Do you ever like think about that and think, oh man, I wish I would have come out sooner and this wouldn't have been the journey? Or are you like, this journey has been like hills and valleys and mountains and all the things in between, but this is kind of the way that it had to be for you.
Yes, I think I could have done things a lot better. Mm-hmm. I could have handled situations so much better and I wish I would have. But in the same breath, I will say I am so glad that things happened how they happened. Mm-hmm. And I know like, with my Netflix show, even like people had problems with me doing that. And like, I get it. I totally do. I understand. But like my journey was my journey and how it happened is how it happened. And if I would have done one thing different, maybe I wouldn't be here today. Like that, I can confidently say that. It's mm-hmm. like I was struggling that hard and that serious. So I am glad that things happened how they did. But I also can acknowledge that I made mistakes.
Along
I fell
the way.
Short.
Yeah.
I messed up. And I'm so incredibly sorry and in just like a completely different I feel like I'm a completely different person after coming out and like having the sense and having being able to process things how yeah. I can now and like being in touch with my emotions and feel, you know, I mean, there's still a big chunk of my life that I won't really have closure on because I can't go back in time and handle different things differently. I wish that I could, mm-hmm. but I have to be at peace with that now. So yeah, I am in a place where I'm sort of grateful for the opportunities that I've had. I'm grateful for me sort of navigating my career now too, where, you know, like I know my time in front of the camera is going to be on the limited side now. Mm-hmm. And I love creating on the backside. I love helping people. I think like it's given me so much clarity in my life, not just in my personal life, but in my professional life too.
Also, I want to talk to you about your mental health because that's something that I think has been that I really admire you about, because I also have like struggled with my mental health. And had you always struggled with your mental health even before, you know, the aftermath of being on the show and then getting to where you are today?
Yeah, I grew up with a family that just didn't believe in mental health. They just believed you grit your teeth, you get through it, and it's tough times make tough people. Like that was the attitude. Mm-hmm. And same with football. Like that's very much the mantra there is you do not let anybody see you cry. You do not let anybody see that they got to you. But on the same time, you can be emotional in joyful ways, but you can't be emotional in sad and hurtful ways. So yeah. it was sort of that shaped me into my mental health journey. I think you probably had it on your, I had a doctor and a therapist on set with me.
Yeah, but I didn't use them.
My first therapist was in 2017 when I was playing with the Oakland Raiders on the practice squad. Okay. And I was hurt. And then my dog died. I credit my dog passing for me asking for help. And it was a tear flyer, like a little tear away mm-hmm. sheet off on this flyer on the bulletin board outside of the locker room in Oakland. And I remember I snuck in there after hours. Like I made sure nobody was in the building, and I tore one off. And like I did it and put my hood up and hat on, and like because there's cameras for security purposes. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want the coaches to know I needed help. I didn't want the players. I did it so shamefully. And when I tore it off, I called the number and I got my first counseling and therapy session. And that was a big part of my story, was the shame rooted around therapy and asking for help. Mm-hmm. And then I did. And then I went through a really, I mean, it's pretty public at this point, but I went through a very public, like, mental health breakdown mm-hmm. and spiraled quickly and abused certain medications and just, you know, there was a week in my life that I didn't think I was going to live. And there was a morning for sure that I was surprised I even woke up.
Was that all around your sexuality or was it just all around everything?
COVID. So like COVID, you know, as much as I could say, yeah, the show helped me. So did COVID. I mean, COVID stopped my life and stopped yeah. everybody's lives in their tracks. So I couldn't like keep running for myself. I couldn't move to the next project. I couldn't be on TV again. I couldn't have a podcast. I couldn't have any of these things that like I would pour myself into so that I didn't have to worry about my sexuality and that identity.
I totally so relate I kept to running. That. Yeah.
And then finally COVID happened and it came to a screeching halt. The relationship ended that I was in. I was just in a really, where it was like, I think that relationship was the last one that I was like, this isn't it, then I probably should not be here. Like that's sort of where I was at mentally. And then, you know, things
happened. Why did you think that? Just.
I didn't think there was, by me going on the show, I was like, I am putting it out there that I am straight and like, that is who I am. So I didn't think I could walk that back. Like I like was so convinced that like I put myself out there so publicly that I could never walk it back. And like, I'll have kids and then I definitely can't walk it back. And then I'll get further on in this relationship with a woman and I can't walk it back. That was my game plan in my head. I mean, that's just sort of how I was approaching things, mm-hmm. just so terrible.
But it's not, I wouldn't say it's that uncommon for a lot because of people.
Where my engaged girls, congrats, you're engaged, so am I. Now you may be like me wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get designs, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy and hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves. But sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go, to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at TravelSouthDakota.com.
For people who are like in the mess of it all, you have like reached the other side of that. But what is life like now? I mean, you are in 2 years, less than 3 years, 2 years.
It's been, I think, 3 years since I actually I came out to my mom first.
Okay.
Yeah. I came out to everybody in my family and in my circle and then publicly. It's been
in 3 years now you're married.
Married.
To a man.
Yeah. And I think that's also why, like, people are like, oh, he went into a relationship too soon. I was like, I had done a lot of work and mm-hmm. I had also dated a lot of people that helped me do that work and put that work in. And as much as people want to say, like, the show's not real, it does, and I'm sure you can maybe relate to this with Adam, but, like, it does give you the toolkit to date intentionally. And,
for sure.
And, like, ask questions that you never felt confident. If he's like, if I could ask this question with a camera and a microphone in my face, I can ask it to you in private on like this random date, like, and
oh, for
hold
sure.
you accountable.
For sure.
So like I had good tools and I dated a couple different people before I met Jordan.
Oh, because I was going to ask that. So you did date other men before Jordan.
Yeah, I did.
Had you like really formed an emotional connection with any man before Jordan?
Yeah, I was starting to. Mm-hmm. Yes and no. I was starting to, but it didn't feel right. And then I, you know, was pulling out. And then it's just dating in the gay community was different. And I was still learning it. And I was exploring
it.
What
does that mean?
What I loved and appreciated about that phase of my life is, like, mm-hmm. in the gay community, in our community, that there's this presence of, like, no rules. Right? Where, like, they sort of throw out all the societal norms, which I think there's beauty in.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that also made it harder on me because I was like, okay, what do I, where are my core values? Like, yes, I should explore this and, like, not judge this. And, like, maybe that works for them. But this does not work for me. So, like,
because we're all unique and different and we all date differently. Right? Like, it's not just like, oh, you're right. Gay. So this is the way that
correct.
You date.
Right.
Right.
Or now that you're out, you're going to watch Drag Race every week. And it's like, No, I still like the challenge on MTV and yeah. I still like watching Sunday Night Football. Like, I still like all of,
yeah.
like, that's still me as a human being. But like now with Jordan, like, he's, I don't even know like how to explain it. It truly is my soulmate. Like, he's the best. He really is.
Did you know that immediately meeting him or?
Yeah, we, Yes. I mean, I think I knew early on mm-hmm. that it was very special and very different, and I wanted to, like, keep paying attention to this, but I also, like, knew, too, like, I needed to take care of myself, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to, like, fall again on my face, and any move that I made, like, we kept our relationship very, very private at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, we just, in all intents and purposes, like, really wanted to protect our bubble, protect our relationship. Yeah. And I still very much do that, and it's a big part of our relationship is sort of protecting one another and what we have. And because you know, like, mm-hmm. you get a lot of scars from people being all up in your business, and
they didn't sign up for that.
Can I ask, did Adam watch your season?
No.
Jordan just did.
What did he feel?
Oh, he liked you. He's a fan of you.
Okay, great. Why?
Well, it got to a point. He did not want to watch because it got to a point where we'd be out in public and fans would come up and say something. And he was like, I feel like a dick. Like, because they keep coming up and be like, what did you think of this? And he's like, yeah, I didn't watch. And it's like, how could you not watch this part of his life? Like, and he's like, I sort of felt like an asshole. Mm-hmm. So he went and he watched it so that he can talk to people, because, like, there were even, like, you know, there was these two lesbians that came up to us at this bar, and they were like, we really like this. And he's like, we sort of hold a responsibility as a couple now. He sort of felt and said this. Mm-hmm. He's like, we sort of hold this responsibility to, like, you know, say hi. And he's like, I know I didn't sign up for this, and I know I'm just, like, your partner, but, like, I, you know, out of respect for your fans and for your people, like, I wanted to watch and educate myself, which I was at first, when we first started dating, I said, please, out of respect for me, do not watch my season. And then a year or two years in, he goes, hey, can I watch? Because, like, I need to change the way
that
I publicly.
But did you have to watch it with him?
Bits and pieces. It's like, funny because I would be, like, downstairs and he'd be upstairs watching, and you just, like, hear him either, like, laugh or be like, oh my God. And then he'd be like, how did people not know? That's what he said that multiple times. And then the best is, like, when he'd be like, why did you keep her? Like, he was so strongly opinionated. I loved it.
But he liked me?
Oh yeah, he liked you.
He, like, did.
I told him I was coming here today, and he goes, tell her I'm a big fan. I was like, okay.
So, oh my gosh, I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah, he's great.
I think he's so cute, and I love y'all together. I want Adam to watch your season.
Oh,
I'm
gosh.
I think that's funny. Like, I look back at myself and I'm like, I'm she, because I'm, like, changed. I'm like, she.
It's this out of body experience now, because, like, you get to look at it from a completely different life.
I'm like, she did not care, and she had so much fun. I, like that version of myself, even though it was, like, absolutely crazy. Yeah. But I just had, like, I had fun with it. I was very, like, serious about, you know, the relationship aspect of it. But I also had just, like, the best time, like, exploring myself and mm-hmm. all the different sides I had. So I want him to watch that. My season. I
watched bits and pieces here. I was in the, jaded, you know how, like,
yes,
after.
That's what, yeah, I just watched the first season, but for sure. I just now watched Charities.
I obviously followed along, and I think I watched bits and pieces of yours, but yours is, like, one of the very first ones that I was a little. You have PTSD coming out.
1,000%. I think for a while I was, like, almost, like, embarrassed, or I didn't really step into that. I mm-hmm. kind of, like, wanted to hide, and now I felt the past, I would say, like, it hasn't been that long, maybe like 8 months, I'm finally, like, I feel like I can really be my full self and really enjoy, and I'm so appreciative and grateful for that whole experience. But it has taken me a long time to do that. But I think the support of a partner that is outside of it but can, like, meet you there and wants to understand, wants to also be supportive of this season in your life, because you might have never met Jordan. I would have never met Adam. And so it is such a blessing in a way. It takes a while to get back to that place, though.
Totally. I'm proud of you. And
thank
continue
you.
To be patient with yourself. Because, like, just, like, for me, doing multiple shows, you did too, just mm-hmm. in a different vein.
I mean, we were the same, like, I was on 3 ABC shows in a year, and you were as well. I think that is not normal. And it's,
I don't know if it should be allowed. I think they should have, like, a 2 and done rule in the same year where, like, 2 reality shows are plenty.
Yes.
A third is a bit much.
That's when it starts going downhill.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I do. It does take some time to process all of that mm-hmm. because it's hard on a human. Mm-hmm. Humans aren't, I feel like my, what I believe in is humans aren't meant to be famous and or idolized. Yes. Or, I just don't think it's healthy. And I think I loved being famous for 18 months. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Mm-hmm. I was getting all this attention and money and opportunities and so much fun. I wasn't realizing the impact it was having on my personal like health. And
well, when you have things that you haven't worked on or you don't want to really confront in your life, which yeah. I also had my own in that, fame is great because it's a distraction. Totally. You can just go on from one thing to the next. And when I really relate to the COVID thing, I was like, oh, now I don't have anything to distract me. And now my friends actually can get in touch with me and ask me how I'm doing. And now I can't lie.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to have to find something else. So then I just found TikTok, you know, like, yeah. it's yeah. just that, that like you said, like it was like a really hard time, but mm-hmm. COVID kind of helped get me
yeah.
back to grounded in a way. It's still been really hard.
Humbles you.
Humbles, yep. yeah, for sure. And yeah, fame is just very interesting. But then, like I said, there's like this whole other side of all the impact that you can make.
Yeah.
With the things, once you've like done all that, it's like, what do I really want to do?
Yeah.
And I feel like you've stepped into that now yeah. with what you're doing. Can you share with everyone, like what is the thing that you're focusing on now in your life?
I think right now, like, what I'm setting out to do is create content that bridges our country.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to make content that is impactful to middle America mm-hmm. and is patient with them. Because I think right now a lot of people are mad, a lot of people are angry and yelling. And I think there's a place for protest and there's a place for that. But there's also like space and a place for people to be patient with people, to hold their hand and bring them along on this journey. So a lot of the work that I'm doing right now in entertainment is more behind the camera, and it's creating shows, both scripted and unscripted right now, that do that, that speak to middle America, that talk about, you know, a lot of queer sports stories,
mm-hmm.
A lot of shows rooted in shame. Just like I'm drawing a lot of parallels to my life and a lot of the shows that I'm working on. I executive produced a movie this year, which was so much fun and so exciting. And it's like, it's this really, really cool project that I cannot wait to get out there.
Oh, I was so, like, can we know what the name is? Not yet.
It's coming. Yeah. Okay. And I've never really, since coming out, once again, balancing feminine and masculine mm-hmm. energy, going back to that is like, I've never been this creative in my life. And also like.
But you couldn't tap into that because correct. You couldn't tap into all the other things yes. that would you thought may bring.
And I can say this, I'll return in front of the camera at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The right, if it's the right project that needs my presence on it in unscripted, probably more in a hosting role.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never say, I don't want to speak in definitives because like, you know, competition shows come up that are fun and like. Yeah. There's a good tempo and like you want to break your projects up and like if there's like a fun cooking show that I want to go do, I want to be able to like not put on record being like I'm done with reality TV, like
no,
I'll go do that cooking show because
sure.
it's gonna be fun. But I'm just in a place right now where it's so much more rewarding working on the back end of shows
mm-hmm.
and creating and guiding and mentoring and helping, and it's such a cool. I love the entertainment industry. I really do.
Yeah.
Like it is my career
mm-hmm.
and I'm producing and directing and just having a really good time right now.
Yeah. I love it too. It's very, it's creative. It's a thing like that. I didn't even know was there were careers in this other than being like an actor, actress
yes.
growing up like that. I didn't know that you could have so many, creative ways to express yourself in entertainment. And
yeah.
I think it's really cool that you have like tapped into that. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Of course. Thank
I
you
really
for
appreciate
me.
It. I'm so glad that we finally got to like sit down and talk because we've just had these like quick run-ins.
Well, life's happened.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Better Tomorrow. Please make sure to follow and subscribe on Apple Podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.